Blog Talk Radio.
It's another beautiful day on Brown Sugar Radio. Get ready to ignite a passion and purpose of overflow. Cherish the value of being you and nurture your soul. Handle your business like a boss and take full control. I invite you to engage upon a journey of greatness and use the gifts within that God has made. This is the time to win and not to lose. So sit back, relax, and take off the blues. Get ready for another exciting segment here on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's Brown Sugar Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back at it again. It is your favorite show host. We're back at it again. Lifestyle and Abundance Coach. We're here making life sweeter on Blog Talk Radio. Really excited because we do have another very special guest. And, you know, transforming your life from tragedy to triumph is something that is self-love. That is the ultimate self-love. And as we're celebrating here in the month of February, the love month, you got to love yourself first before you can love anybody else. So I want to just talk a little bit about our special guest for the evening, Dr. Sherman Urquhart, who is the founder and owner of Urquhart Solutions, LLC, where his vision is to work with individuals and companies, help plan out measurable steps in achieving new goals and establishing new standards of excellence. And, you know, that's what we're all about here on Brown Sugar Radio, right? If you can't do it right, don't do it at all. He also has an award-winning best-selling memoir, I'm Not There Anymore. He's going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And he's also got a second book, You Are the One Thing. And so before I go any further, listen, I want to tell you it's important that when you have a vision, you execute it. But not only that, you want to share it with others. And so this is what his book has helped to do, to heal and restore the lives of countless women and men. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Dr. Sherman Urquhart. Welcome to Brown Sugar Radio. How are you tonight?
Good evening. How you doing? Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, loud and clear.
Perfect. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
So, oh, wonderful. It's so good to have you. As I was just reading on your story, you know, there's some things you battled, right? Battling the storms of addiction, incarceration, depression, and constant failure you talk about in your bio. And, you know, just being on the road to destiny. And I love how you said you became a master of self. We're going to get into it tonight. We want to help somebody, anybody that's going through some battles, anyone that is facing any type of adversity tonight. I want you to hear Dr. Sherman's story to encourage you tonight. And so it's also super glad to have you. And my first question, as far as, you know, you being a coach and an author, you're a father, you know what I'm saying? You got a lot of different hats that you wear. Share with us what is, I guess, your favorite area of expertise.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And one of the things I like to get across when I'm introducing myself in interviews and things like this is that most of the time I'm Sherman C. Urquhart. All of the time I'm a father, but throughout time I'm a child of the Most High God. So the purpose that, you know, that came to me when agreeing to do this was that, like you said before, being able to have an impact on people and being able to move people forward and encourage people. And I know that's what you're all about, and that's, I appreciate that too, because that's the message that we try to get across.
Absolutely, yes, yes, mm-hmm. Most definitely. And that's beautiful, you know, that first of all, I want to applaud you because it takes courage, right, to share your story. A lot of people would have swept it under the rug, been too ashamed to talk about it, but here you're using it, right, as your testimony to help change and serve the lives of others. So that's a beautiful thing, brother. I appreciate that you're doing tonight. And, you know, when I look at your life, when was, I would say, the last time that you had to pivot? You know, we recently, as you know, went through the pandemic. There's a lot of different change, a lot of different things that we have all faced. And I know for me personally, I haven't experienced loss at this magnitude ever in my lifetime. You know, you have a death here or there. I can count on two hands how many family members and close friends that I've lost just within the last 12 months. It's just been an excessive amount, right? So my question for you, Dr. Sherman, is, no, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you. It's been, you know, mortality has been so high lately, just random people, people that we know and love are just randomly going away and getting sick. So it makes you appreciate life more and, you know, kind of look at yourself and look at your lives and look at your loved ones and all of that. I was just agreeing with you, yes.
Right. Oh, gosh. Yes. Tell me about it. And so I'd also like to share, before I get into the next question, Dr. Sherman has also lost his spouse, right? So he's a widow and he understands what that pain feels like. For my loyal listeners, you know, I lost my dear Walter in August of 2020. Yesterday was super hard for both of us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, ooh, child, I don't even want to get into it. So, we're going to talk about as far as when was, like, our business started crying and everything else. I ain't about to do that to your show. I'm not going to do that to you. So, when was the last time that you've had to pivot, right, during the pandemic due to an unforeseen circumstance?
There was, you know, as people were locked down at the beginning of the pandemic in March, April of 2020, a lot of people had to suddenly work from home. I teach from home when schools were closed. So along with everybody else, I had to pivot from a sort of a corporate 9-to-5 sort of vision of how I was living my life to where, okay, we're at home now, so we have time to where we can explore some of our passions and see if we can at least try to engage in those passions, maybe make a living that way. So that's part of that great resignation that happened where so many people left their jobs to chase their passions and become entrepreneurs. Because we're at home. Okay, so you have an idea, you have a product, you have something you want to sell and all of that. So, and if you're branding on social media and all of those things, then you can have a whole lot of eyes watching you. You can have a whole lot of an audience. So what I did was to pivot was getting out of that mindset to where, oh, no, it has to be this certain way. I have to be in a structured sort of work environment like I had been used to for 20 years and work, you know, one or two jobs, sometimes three. So that was what I was used to. Yeah, so having to pivot away from that sort of a mindset to one of entrepreneurship was the pivot that I had to take, and I'm glad I did that because I can see I have so many friends and colleagues who are entrepreneurs, and that is it's not for the weak, okay? It's not for the weak. You have to be all in, and, you know, I'm learning myself. I had to started my own coaching company in October of last year. So I'm new in that vein too, but I'm excited about the possibilities because there's a certain amount of freedom that comes from entrepreneurship that you can get in a sort of a corporate atmosphere, and you have more ability to chase your passion. So that's how I pivoted that way from going from that corporate mindset to one of entrepreneurship, chasing sort of a freedom and not sort of, you know, a salary, you know.
Yes, I love it. And then that is the beauty of being an entrepreneur is the fact that, you know, there are no glass ceilings. You know, you write your own paycheck, and so that is something, the freedom, that's something that's priceless, absolutely. Wow. And, you know, I just feel that this year, 2022, we're all praying that this year, definitely, you know, a year of prosperity and a year that we can all just really kind of move past the pain. We've all been through the pain in 2020 with the pandemic. Now it's time for us to birth a new passion with that. And so what would you say has been your life's greatest lesson that you've had to overcome?
Probably there have been several, but probably the most impactful one was allowing myself to be led. You know, whether you're a religious person, whether you submit to a higher power, however it works with folks, that's fine. But in my situation, connecting to God was how this whole process got started in the first place. getting out of my own way and stop trying to, you know, forcefully manage my life and push it in directions that it's not supposed to go, and allowing myself to be led and just let life come to you. It's almost kind of like an athlete where you understand the game, you understand how life is played, so things slow down for you and you're more proactive and you're not on your heels and you can kind of plan for things and stay out in front of things. So that was the biggest lesson, just learning how to get out of my own way and allow myself to be led and control what you can control day to day and allow things to happen with good energy. And you can kind of dictate how things flow that way, at least in your own space. You can kind of dictate that if you're managing what you can manage, you know, going the extra mile and, you know, staying out of the weeds, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that surrender process was what you're saying.
Yeah, surrender.
That was where you had to get. You was like me, Jonah in the belly of the whale, running it. God's like, okay, you can run if you want to.
You're not going to get far,
oh,
right?
Gosh. He's talking about that. Those spiritual whoopers are no joke. I don't know. I just, I've learned. I was like, you know what, God? I'm not going to do that again. So it does,
It's no getting around
that
it.
That is not at all. It's like, you know what, just might as well listen the first time. No, don't be like Moses in the wilderness and his people, you know what I'm saying, for 40 years. Who's got 40 more years to wait?
Look, Moses had some patience. I'd have been like, look, enough. Y'all decide what y'all want to do. I didn't get y'all out here. I got y'all out here. Y'all complain about everything. Good gracious.
Okay. I'm like, man.
He broke the hit the rock with the stick or whatever. I'd have done that weeks ago. I'd have beat him to that.
Right, why took you years to do that? It would have been days for me. Okay.
Right, governors would have been toe up fooling with them people.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy, ridiculous.
Right.
But this is a part, right, of that process that we were speaking of, how we move forward, you know, and how sometimes God has to take that pain for us to really understand our true purpose. And I recall speaking one time, and I was sharing how my pain that I've went through, the greater the pain, the greater the impact, right? Because as you're going through things and you're learning in life, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom for you, just like a basketball, right? I know you say you like basketball. Well, the thing that's interesting about it, you know, the harder that ball hits the ground, the higher that it bounces. That's the same analogy that I give my clients. And we go through that as human beings, you know, okay, God is like, okay, you want to go ahead and hit rock bottom? He said, I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to let you see what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just think that's what's wonderful about us having that power of choice. And speaking of choices, what would you tell your younger self what you know now?
How much time
you got?
And
what would
you
have done differently? What would you have done? Okay, just one thing.
So one at a time. Okay, just one. Because I'd sit him down and be like, son, look, I got some bad news, okay? You might as well lay back here. So
how long is the show?
Right. Hope you got no pay. But I would skip all of that and just get to the main point being, you know, just don't waste time. Because everything has a clock. And some things have a clock on them that you're going to see expire. So do not waste time. Get it done. That's what I would tell my 17-year-old self. Look them square in the eye and be like, look, do not waste time because it's going to get tough. So, you know, get lock in and get focused and get ready. Instead of flailing about for 10 years after that before, you know.
That's it.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
And time is the one thing we cannot get back. At all, this moment right now, it's 7:14 in Las Vegas. We'll never see 7:14 on this day ever again. You know what I'm saying?
Ever.
We'll see it tomorrow.
It's gone. Right.
If God allows us to. But, that is definitely something to think about, your time, you know. And when you said expired, I immediately began to think of our spouses, you know, because neither one of them probably knew the day. None of us know the day around unless it's quiet as kept. And I use my husband a lot, and I share how, you know, his death was actually unexpected. And so he died instantly. Mm-hmm. And whoever thinks they're going to wake up that morning and not see the end, right, of that day. So when you said expired, like, are we really doing everything in our power to be all we can be? Are we capitalizing on every single moment in our life? You know, what are we doing to make sure that we are the absolute best version of ourselves? And if you can't look in the mirror and love what you see right now, there's some work that we have to do, right? There's some work we got to do. And so every morning, if God blesses you with another 24, you look at that as your opportunity. That's a new bank of time. He's granted you a new day to get it right. And I love what you just said, because we have that ability to make those changes, right?
That's right. We all have that ability. You know, sometimes we might not tap into it. Sometimes we might not realize it. We might need assistance trying to navigate exactly, you know, how much power we do have and where best to use it in our lives to get the most sort of progression. So all of those things are normal, but we all have it. We all have the gift. It's like Les Brown said, we all have greatness within us. And, you know, it just has to be, we have to find it, find what we're great at. Cliche, people say, oh, everybody's good at something. You just find what it is you're good at, and then you go from there. It really kind of is the model there, even in business.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you narrow yourself down to your people always want you. You always want to look for your target audience, those people who will benefit most from what you have to offer. And then you feed that group and, you know, master that group and empower those people. And then your message will spread and all those things, and everything will fall forward like it's supposed to go. But, you know, just starting from the beginning and empowering yourself, you know, is key, I think.
Absolutely. Yes, I agree with that. And how important would you say is it for your kids, right, not to follow maybe some of the choices that you made earlier in your life?
Yeah, so my son, he just turned 16 and, you know, in driver's ed and they're going to drive a vehicle and all that stuff. That's, point being, it's gotten old so fast, time is flying.
Wow.
I got to get this.
Yeah.
This young man is going to be is in the eyes of the law, and plus he's kind of a big guy too in the eyes of the law. This is a grown man.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and especially as a young man of color, it's even more so critical incumbent upon me to make sure that he doesn't repeat the same, you know, mistakes that I made. That's, you know, that's a given. But also that he, you know, find himself early or as early as he can do it. You can never dictate somebody's grieving, like we talked about earlier, or somebody's journey. You can't dictate that, but you can encourage somebody to see what they have within. So I tell my son, you know, don't spend a lot of time flailing. Nail it down, okay? Don't be like your father, okay? There's some things you can avoid. You know, we all have to go through things that none of us can control. But, you know, trying to make sure that, and my daughter's five, so she's got a ways to go to terrorize me before I had start, you know, giving
That's
her
funny.
Advice about being a young lady. You know, I got a few more years of this, you know, this first, but that's coming too. But just making sure that they are best prepared for the world and the way the world's changing and evolving, especially in the next 10 to 15 years. It'll look a lot different when my daughter becomes 21 than it is now. So, you know, got to be ready.
Right? Yes, indeed. Good grief. I know it. And it's going to happen faster than you think. It's out here within the blink of an eye, it feels like, at times.
Right here.
Yeah. My daughter, it's so funny because you know how Facebook will give you the memories or the, what is it called? The flashback, I'm saying flashback, but it's, I can't think of the word, but you know, it's a memory of an old photo that pops up on your screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a picture of my daughter when she was, like, entering kindergarten, and now here I'm planning her 316. Like, it's crazy how fast it goes.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the blink of an eye.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely. You know, how's your title? We're speaking about transforming your life from tragedy to triumph. Share with us how you transform your life, Dr. Sherman.
It was a transformation that took place over time, over the course of about 8 years, where started out of high school and into college, where you know, for me at least, where, you know, you have good influences all around you, but you sort of gravitate towards, you know, or for lack of a better word, poor decision making, a bunch of newfound freedom that I didn't really know what to do with, not a lot of direction in life. Like, I knew I was capable of doing things, but I didn't know what. You know, when you have like zero, it's almost like you can go into undergrad and be undecided as your major.
Yeah.
You know, you're undecided because you're trying to figure out what you want to do. So it's kind of like that about life at that moment. It's just undecided about, I didn't know what to do, to the point where it became negative because I was taking in things that I shouldn't, taking in stimuli that I shouldn't have been. It led to, you know, a lot of, you know, feelings of external loneliness where, you know, you're around folks, but you're just, you know, lost and nobody understands and you can't really talk to anybody about it. Then it leads to depression and all sorts of things. And then when you couple that with, you know, your lack of motivation, no desire to do anything, and, you know, it everything sort of, and then you add, you know, drugs and all that sort of things and drinking too much, and it gets to the point where you just lose a handle on life and what you want to do, what's expected of you, or what you expect.
Right.
From that point, there's going to be a rock bottom, and that happened to me after, like I said, after about 8 years of that. And after that, I was able to find my way. I was able to understand, you know, how, like we said earlier, how the game is played, kind of how life is run, what you can do, the power that you do have, the resources that you do have, people who are there to help you and care for you. They think you have a purpose. They think you have a reason to live. They see something in you that you don't. So a lot of people were involved. It wasn't just me and God. It was a lot of people involved along that way, unexpected people. So the tragedy of not having any direction in life and just, you know, content with failing, where you're almost kind of like it's expected and like that's all I'm going to be. That's it. I've accepted that. I'm not going to be nothing but this lump of, you know, nothingness. And that'll be fine. I'll be in and out. You know, I'll be that guy. I'll be that person who or that family member or that friend who just couldn't get it together, and they just, you know where they are. They stayed somewhere. You have to move away from that, and then after that, you can see the difference.
Wow.
There was a big difference, but yeah, but where direction.
Mm-hmm.
I want there was no desire to have a life, and then there is a desire to overachieve and live life to the fullest. It's a catharsis, a sort of a paradigm shift I had to go through, and that was the tragedy to triumph now. You know, I'm not a trillionaire or anything, but I have the mindset as to where, you know, I can handle things. You know, there's a sort of peace and sort of good energy, and you look for the good in people. Especially, it's hard to do that these days with so much that's going on right in front of us. For the last 2 years, I think we've almost become numb to tragedy and losing people and all sorts of things. But in a vacuum, that's that way. But step back from this and look at it in the last 3 years. It's been really bad for a lot of people.
Yeah, it has.
So,
it really has. Yeah.
So understanding, like, there's no need for no pity parties or anything like that. You get out there and you do what you can do and you serve, and then you learn from what you went through and you don't repeat those things. So the tragedy was not having any direction, and the triumph was willingness to overachieve, a desire to.
Wow. And, you know, I think that it definitely boils down to what I always say, the power of choice. You know, you made that choice to say, okay, enough is enough. Like, I just can't take this any longer, you know, or you just were at a point where you're like, I'm not going to take it no more, right? You either get fed up with what's happening in your life, or just things just keep happening, and you're in that vicious cycle over and over again, you know, and it's just like, okay, you know, what am I going to do to make some better choices in my life? And it's amazing. It's good to see, you know, that you decided to make that positive change. And now, you know, you have your children who are looking up to you. And I'm sure you have other youth that are looking up to you and your clients. You know, you're helping them work through various obstacles that they may face. And this is what it's all about. This is what life is about. This is what I believe that definitely Brown Sugar Radio is about, right? Making life sweeter, helping to heal and inspire. And in this decade now that we're in, it's just been crazy. It's been real, real crazy. Things that our parents never had to even even think a word about us now as parents, we're like, whoa, it's a whole different ball game. And you see depression and suicide at an all-time high. My heart goes out to the mother of Miss USA, who recently took her own life, and Regina King, her son, who recently took his own life. And with depression and suicide at an all-time high, what's the best advice you can give to someone who's losing hope and ready to give up, Dr. Sherman?
First thing, we have to, you know, don't hold it all in. You have to be willing to somebody. It doesn't have to be a therapist or a licensed person. It doesn't even have to be, you know, someone of some sort of authority, like a teacher or something like that. But a trusted person, a friend, where you can kind of unload some of these things. And sometimes it's hard for someone to do that unless they're talking to a therapist or someone like that. But getting them in there sometimes is tough, especially for men, especially for men of color. If you think between 18 and 35, suicide is now the second leading cause of death in that demographic.
Oh, my goodness.
Especially
That's
in the
crazy.
Last 2 years since the pandemic. Kids, you know, they were really displaced. You know, the easy argument is that, oh, kids, they're at home, they're having the time of their lives. No, they weren't. They were really being traumatized by not being in school. Now, I'm all for, you know, they have these, that's a whole nother conversation about the safety of kids in school now in 2022. We won't even get into that. But no one can deny that students and children were displaced, so they had a bit of trauma in 2020 when schools closed down. And that leads to, fast forward, that led a lot of kids to losing their path to the point where they started, you know, taking their own lives. So they didn't really have anybody to talk to, or they're holding things in. So I guess my advice would be to somebody who's going through something where they think, because I've had suicidal thoughts too. I've really seriously thought the world's going to be pretty cool. I'll just go on and just stop bothering people, because you get to a point where you're disappointing everybody around you, your parents. I mean, you get to that point, you're like, well, I'm just, okay, well, this is the natural order of things. I'm just going to, the world is, and it doesn't even have to be a dramatic thing. A lot of kids are like, suicide doesn't have to be a lot of screaming, hollering. I'm just going to go to the, it could be the quietest and most impactful thing on this. So I understand that, how big that is, and you don't have anybody to talk to or express those things to. So I would say speaking to somebody, you know, getting out of your own head about it, and, you know, cutting yourself a break, and, you know, the world is better with you. No.
It is. It really is, you know. And what I love the most is being you, that is your superpower. No one can try, and no, well, I want to rephrase that, because they can try to be you, but they won't have the same effect that you have, because you're carrying your own special, unique gift and talent. And that's just, well, it's really beautiful what you said. It hit home, you know, stop holding it in. And I think that's what the main issue is. Especially with our youth, they may not, they feel like they're unrelatable, or they can't speak to their parents or their family members, and they just gotta find someone who they can trust, you know.
Right.
Wow.
Right. A lot of times it's tough. They don't have anybody, you know.
Mhm. Yeah. Good grief. Mm-hmm. Well, the final thing I want to share. Congratulations! You recently received your doctorate degree. Wow, what a huge, huge honor I'm sure that is for you. Explain why this was non-negotiable for you and it had to be a...
Thank you, yes. It was a promise I made to my father, and it just finished a few weeks ago, so I think that I don't even know if the ink is dry on confirmation yet, and of course we graduated in May. Yeah, but just, you know, having that, you know, behind me after... It's been about 8 years I've been working on these, a sort of a dual degree, and could have finished faster, but... I started this in 2012 when my father was on his deathbed, September of that year, and I told him, I said, I'm going to do this program, and I'm going to, because he wanted that. He wanted to, you know, the funny story is, I mean, I used to wear these big glasses. I wear glasses now, I wear contacts, but I used to wear these big glasses, and so did my father. So when I was little, I had, you know, two brothers, but you know, they didn't wear glasses. I did. So if I went somewhere with my father, his friends, you know, he wasn't a professor in school, in college, but they called him that, sort of a nickname. They said, hey, professor, how you doing? I remember that. And because I had on glasses and resembled my father, they would call me Little Professor. Because, you know, you don't want to look at the, you go to my website at scinspires.com and read my story, then you'll see a big picture of me sitting under a tree, you know, with these glasses looking like I can look out in outer space, because I had the biggest glasses you could possibly have. So they call me Little Professor.
That's cute.
So when my father, you know, unfortunately passed away in 2012, so when he did that, I told him, look, I'm going
to
go ahead and I'm going to finish this program, and I'm going to be a professor, somebody's professor, teaching these young people and pouring into them. He said, okay. I even wrote about that in my first memoir, that experience, because that was a pivotal moment in my life. My father was leaving the earth, and I saw him 8 hours before that happened, and he was sleeping, and I wrote about this, and he was asleep, but when I was talking, he would take a breath so I could, I felt like he was listening. So anyway, I told him that I was finished his program. And, of course, along the way, my younger brother passed away in 2017, and, of course, my wife in 2019.
Oh, wow.
And during those times, I just could not write. You know, couldn't finish it up. So, you know, using the lessons that I learned back then to move past those things and finish this program was of the utmost importance to me. So it's very gratifying to have finished, you know.
Absolutely. Now, you in 2012 were working on your doctor's degree or your master's?
It was a specialist / doctorate dual degree program. That was, you could have done it in about 5 years now, 5 or 6 years, but you know, it took me about 9 because those things sort of stopped me. After my wife passed, I was in a slap in the middle of my dissertation. I didn't pick it up. I didn't touch it for a year and a half. You know, after that, I couldn't write.
Jeez.
And then when I picked it up, you know, I was basically starting from scratch. So, you know, I lost 3 or 4 years, I guess, in the whole process. But I'm okay with that because, you know, it's everything happens for a reason. So I don't know if it would be, as fulfilling as it is now had I done it, you know, the regular way, I guess.
Right, absolutely. Well, as I mentioned earlier, right, the greater the pain, the greater the impact. Now you're writing through a new
That's way, right.
You know, and you're able to touch people at an even deeper level now. You know, so that's what's beautiful about your story. And, you know, wow, this grief, back to back, you know, people that were very, very important to you. And we all have to face it at one point, you know, but you want to at least let them see you achieve that goal. I know, and that's what my prayer was, you know, when my husband had passed. I was thinking, like, gosh, if he could just see me do this or just see me do that. But, you know, they're still with us. That's what's so beautiful. Now they're within us, you know. They're not actually beside us. They're in us. And I just feel that it was really important. Yeah, it made it even that much more of a determination for you to get it done, didn't it?
Right, and my mother's very, I'm very proud that my mother's proud about that, so she's very happy about that, so that's very fulfilling as well, you know.
Yep, that's awesome. Good, well, good for you. You'll be, are you going to actually attend your ceremony? You said in May is when it is?
Yeah, it'll be in May.
Good for you. Yeah, and just imagine how powerful that's going to be with your children witnessing that. So good. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do is now have you share, if you have like any upcoming events or projects, anything you want to share with my loyal listeners here tonight.
Just follow me on Instagram at SC Inspires and on Facebook at SC Inspires, and you can always check my website and check my story and some of the coaching services and packages that we have for individuals and for organizations at scinspires.com. And I have a few more interviews that are coming up, and I usually post those things on my page. So if you follow me on social media, you'll see all those things. But I'll, keep abreast of part two of the first memoir that I wrote. I'll be publishing that this summer, hopefully on Father's Day, so look out for that. And a couple of the projects I'm going, but follow me on social media. You'll get first crack at all of those events coming up.
Beautiful. And do you have any Facebook groups or any type of programs that they can follow you on and join you?
Yeah, if you're on Facebook, follow me at SC Inspires, and also my Facebook group is STARS. It's the Shining Through Adversity Recovery System, STARS. You'll find us, join the group, we're in there riffing and talking about positive things and empowering each other and having a good time and boosting each other up. So I'll be there too. But you can always reach me at my website at scinspires.com. You can read the story and check me out if you want to contact me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I have certainly enjoyed you. Thank you for your authenticity, first and foremost, and secondly, for your courage, for sharing, you know, what you've been through. And I haven't lost a parent, but I have lost a spouse, and I'll never ever say I know what that feels like because I don't. But, wow, just to know that your father was your inspiration behind you really pushing and getting it done, I've got to say, like, that's amazing to me. So, wow, my hat comes off to you and your children.
Thank you. I just pray
the best for you. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we'll be following your story.
You.
You know, you're always welcome back when you launch a new book and welcome to come back on the air and share when you're ready to promote that. You said it's a second book that you're doing to the...
It's a second book. It'll be part two because that first book was published in 2016.
Okay.
And so much has happened since then, so look out for that. And also for my podcast, The Synopsis, season two of The Synopsis will be coming out in the next couple of months, so look out for that too.
Wonderful. All right. Well, it's a pleasure having you live here on Brown Sugar Radio. Lord, listeners, make sure that you do show this brother some love. Follow him on Instagram, Facebook, join his group. If you really want to be inspired, you know, by somebody that is really following the purpose that God called them to do, definitely make sure that you support and get his book. You know, I'm all about, okay, yes, it's one thing to say, okay, yeah, I got you, I support you, but true support, buy a book. Don't just follow on Facebook, okay? Listen, let's put some money in his brother's pocket so he can help support his family and take care of him. That's what it's all about, showing love for me. So definitely, Sherman, Dr. Sherman, I appreciate you coming on to Brown Sugar Radio. Loyal listeners, make sure if you're just coming in, I see if you're chiming in the chat, you can check out the replay. You know that we'll be back at it again probably in 2 weeks. I'm going to be honest because next week I'm going to be busy. So make sure you come back on Brown Sugar Radio. Check us out. Follow us. You know your girl's always doing something. This is season three. Really excited to kick it off with this show because we all have different things in life that we need to transform. So let 2022 be the year that is a brand new you and you transform and you do the most. So without that, if you don't have anything else that you'd like to share at this time, Dr. Sherman.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a great week.
All right, fabulous. Okay. All right, well, thank you for being here. And once again, Brown Sugar Radio loyal listeners, make sure you do follow the page Brown Sugar Radio and Kim Bullock Kinnick on Facebook, most of you already know, and Instagram. We'll be back at it same time, same place next week. Thank you so much for tuning in to Brown Sugar Radio, where empowerment is extraordinary. Make it a fantastic day. Good night.